You know what really gets a party started? Indoor baseball. Yeah, just find a broom or a pool cue, and you can use, like, anything as a ball. Cans, bottles, shoes.
Hey, bro, toss me that avocado.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Underage drinking and driving, the ultimate party foul. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by BCTGM. That's the folks that make the Oreo cookies that you should only buy that are made in Chicago. Just saying. And the Communication Workers of America. We appreciate their support. Hey, folks, joining me today, we've got Nina Esposito Vizcaitis, president of the Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers Local 400. Nina, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here always, Charles.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. We appreciate that. Nina, let me ask you, what's going on?
Oh, we have a lot going on. We just got back from the AFTPA convention, our state convention. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of great information there. Got to see wonderful speakers, including Senator Casey, Pedro Rivera, our Secretary of Education. The governor was there. So I've come back really pumped up and ready to roll.
There you go. Yeah. So what's the game plan? How are we going to make it happen?
You know what? We have to stick together. We find that over and over. We have to work together more. We're having a lot of strategies and meetings to work with the smaller locals around here, too, so that we can all work together to push public education forward because of everything that's coming up against us. We need to work together.
Nina, one of the things that troubles me the most, and you know, my wife's a teacher by trade, is this privatization silliness, okay? They're no more effective. I remember you and I having a conversation a couple of years ago. You guys had gotten the test scores back for the city. Y'all knocked it out of the park. The kids did great. How many radio stations, how many TV stations called you up and said, hey, can we get an interview about the wonderful job that you and the kids are doing?
Absolutely. No, very few. When something goes wrong, they're right there. But believe me, and I always want to, you're absolutely right. It is not glorified all of the good things that are going on in the city or awards we're winning or grants we're getting. That you don't hear much about, except here. Thank you so much, Charles. I'm glad we have you.
That's why we're here, and that's why we're talking about these things, because it's very important. And, you know, this whole thing about school choice, okay, the school gets to choose whether or not they're going to take your kid, and you have no say in it. School board has no say in it. The community, the taxpayers have no say in it. The parents have no say in it. I mean, how does this happen, and how do we get back to making people realize, helping them realize, that the public school system in this country is the great equalizer?
That's such a great question. And we're working in the city to do some of that with our community school model that we're working towards, which pulls the parents back in to show them they are truly a part of public education.
Right.
And that truly, well, in the name, community school model, we are working to make sure that we're all working together. Like I said, we want the unions to work together. In our community school model, we really want it to be a joint effort with the community, the parents, the teachers, the administrators, and we're really pushing that in Pittsburgh. And I know in other school districts around us are now catching on to that also, which I think is great.
This is a good thing. Mm-hmm. We're catching on. People are catching on. How do we get more? How do we talk to more people? What do we got to do?
You know what? We have to get out there. We have to make sure we vote for people that are pro public education. There are so many that are not now in our state house and in Congress. We have to make sure we do that too. We have to make sure we educate our Secretary of Education in Washington that knows little to nothing about public education. We have a lot of work to do together. We have to do it together. We have to spread the word together. People, friends like you who are willing to talk about the good parts of public education. Parents. I was just at a meeting at Great Public Schools Pittsburgh, a community organization working with us. Aren't they fabulous?
They are.
That's what we need to do more. Last year, week, I met with Lawrenceville United and some of the great work they're doing in their pep rally, going door to door, talking about public education, teaming with teachers. That's what I'm really psyched about, because this is a time you could be a little depressed.
But I'm not. You know, I'm thinking to myself, the tools are in our hands.
Yep.
Okay. And, you know, I have to think that the thing that has got to be something that gives those privatized school proponents nightmares is a parent, a teacher, and a kid knocking on a door, talking about the local schools.
Right.
Just talking to, you know, the people that live in the community. They may have kids that went to school there. They may not. Their kids may have graduated years ago. They may be expecting now. Mm-hmm. But that parent, that teacher, and that student knocking on a door saying, you know what, these are some of the really cool things that we're doing. We're having a party at the school. Come on by. That's see right. What we're doing.
That's absolutely right. That's what we're doing more and more, and I think it's great because too much of your information has gotten from the news, and a lot of that isn't good.
Right. So, and it's not true.
No. Oh, not at all. Oh, not at all. No. Believe me.
Yeah. So, you know, so these are the kinds of things that are going on, and it's a wonderful thing. Nina, as you know, please, I hope that you understand anything that we can do to help spread the word, spread the message. That's what we want to do because, you know, I'm a proud graduate of Taylor Alderdice.
Yeah.
There's probably a couple of teachers that retired with hazardous duty pay. But, you know, the long and short is my son, he's a product of the public school system, and God bless him. He worked real hard. Mom and Dad stayed on top of him. We had the teachers on speed dial. They had us on speed dial. Quite honestly, you know, he's had his pick of some of the best universities and colleges in the country.
That's fantastic. So, it works. Always thrilled to hear that.
It works.
And you know what? The bad rap is getting to why less and less people want to become teachers, which is really a concern of mine, let me tell you.
Let's talk about that when we come back. And part of the problem with young teachers and these for-profit sawmills.
Right.
That we're, you know, so meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
It was 1973. Helen Reddy's song, I Am Woman, was at the top of the charts. The feminist movement was in full swing. A group of Boston women office workers started talking about how they were treated at work, how men made more money for the same jobs, how they couldn't take time off to care for their kids without putting their jobs at risk. They were feisty, empowered, and fed up. They founded 9to5, a membership organization of women working in low-wage jobs, inspiring a national hit song and movie. Whether it's fighting for better leave policies, for equal pay for equal work, to ban the box, or strengthen the safety net, 9to5 is on the front lines of putting our issues on the public agenda, and they're winning big. Find out more about how they're raising the bar at www.9to5.org. That's the number 9to5.org.
While college and university tuitions go up and up, higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school. Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison, why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO and the Kentucky AFL-CIO. We appreciate their support. Joining me today in studio, we've got Nina Esposito-Vizcaitis. She's president of the PFT 400 Teachers Union here in the Pittsburgh area. Nina, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Charles.
Always a pleasure. Nina, one of the things we were just talking about in the last segment is young teachers. Okay. Yep. First off, you're not seeing as many people going into teaching because of the rhetoric, the silliness, the constant, you know, just bad information that's being put out there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about this one travel company that has a commercial, and they're showing this, depicting this woman who's purported to be a teacher. She's standing in the middle of this room of kids are running around like crazy people. And then what she says is, there's nothing more important to me than my vacation.
Yes, and I can't tell you how many calls we've gotten about that. Our teachers are angry about that commercial.
That kind of perception and that kind of, you know, rhetoric is harmful. Okay. Why is it harmful? Okay. You can't get people to come out of college and become a teacher.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in the military, okay, there was a major push to get veterans when leaving the service to become teachers because they needed teachers in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And because we don't have enough teachers in the classroom, the numbers of students in the classroom swells. And part of the problem is with the reduction in funding, you can't hire the teachers that you need.
Exactly.
And then they end up going to work for these for-profit organizations that treat them like cannon fodder, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. And they get burnt out because they've been paid nothing for the last 2 years. They've been trying to make their college tuition loans. They've got 90 kids in this class. And then they just throw their hands up and say, I'm not teaching anymore.
You're absolutely right. I mean, listen to this statistic. Pennsylvania has always been known for churning out teachers because we have so many institutions of higher learning. Over the last few years, that number of teachers coming out has dropped by 62%. And it's even more dismal for African-American teachers, which we are trying to bring diversity to our workforce. It is depressing. Ben, you hit a lot on the factors. You hit a lot of them. There are
Nina,
a few more.
You are a much younger person than I am, but how do you plan for attrition rates? How do you prepare new teachers to come into and teach in the schools when you've got senior teachers, seasoned teachers, they're moving towards retirement? How do you do that?
Absolutely. And we're not finding the numbers. I know this is a big source of angst for us and for the state because people, as you said, aren't going into it for a number of things. People don't, to be honest, treat teachers as well. It's not a high-profile job anymore, something that you aspire to. The starting salaries are abysmal, if I may say so, 20% less than other jobs coming out of college, which is not right. The top-down structure, the teacher voice, a lot of it has been taken away. Who wants to come into a job like that? So it depresses me because that's a job I certainly love and we should all be celebrating. So we do have to work together to make students want to go into public education. Too often I hear my teacher saying, yeah, I told my kids not to go into education because of what they have been through. We need to turn that around. We need to do it now.
Nina, you're right. We need to turn that around. We need to turn it around now. And it's already becoming an issue.
It is.
Classroom size, so on and so forth.
Oh, absolutely. Especially in areas like math, science, foreign languages. We already have a big shortage.
One of the other things that troubles me deeply, you know, if I go to the University of Pittsburgh and I get a master's degree in X, Y, or Z, okay? I'm not even talking about the Katz Business School, but I'm just talking about a master's degree. Mm-hmm. It costs about $36,000, mm-hmm. okay? And if I'm an engineer and I have a master's degree, you know, there's a pretty nice kick in the pants when it comes to wages and other things. And same with many other fields. Nursing, if you have a master's degree in nursing, that's good for $20,000, $30,000 a year easily. Not for a teacher.
No, unfortunately not. Even, I'm embarrassed to admit, since 2010, and it was part of our contract, teachers are not paid more when they get a master's now, which I find degrading that they are not paid more.
Right.
Which is worrisome.
Is it a problem with funding coming from the state? Is a problem coming from funding coming from the community or the Fed? What is the problem and how do we solve it?
The problem with why more teachers aren't going into education?
Mm.
Oh, absolutely. You named a lot of them. I think the recession hurt us because so many teachers were furloughed and laid off that mm-hmm. everyone said, whoa, don't go into teaching. You won't get a job. That's a big part of it.
Right.
The top down, I think, is really hard, that you feel you don't have a voice. Everything is told to you, prescribed to you, do this and that. The testing has killed people. The standardized testing and the focus on standardized mm-hmm. testing. The fact that we don't do enough to retain teachers once we get them, we're not doing enough to make it an attractive job where you want to stay. Give people voice, give people a pleasant place to work, give people leaders that are trained to work well with people. That's what we need to do.
If we made you queen of education for a day,
oh,
and you got to change one thing, what would it be? Parent perception? Would it be community perception? What would it be?
Wow. Oh, that's such a good question. You know what? I really do think it would be trusting teachers to do their job and do it well and give them the voice that they know what their students need. I think that would be huge to start turning things around again.
You know, and it's funny because, you know, when I was in the military, the very astute leadership said, you know what, we need to make sure that soldier in the field understands and knows what we're trying to do, but also has the latitude and authority to get it done. Okay, and people think, oh well, this is the military. You do what you're ordered to do. Well, any good, solid, sound leader understands that if you take care of your people and they know what they're supposed to do, and they know what the intent is, and you give them the authority and you give them the responsibility and you give them the freedom that done, people are going to surprise you.
Absolutely. Over and over, they will.
And I am stealing liberally from Patton on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what do we – I don't think the moms and dads are a problem because, you know, moms and dads love their teachers, their kids' teachers.
That's true. That's
you know,
true.
You really got to mess up hard, you know. But, I mean, and the kids – you know, if you're a teacher and you care, they know it and they understand it and they see it and they respect you for it. Wow. I mean, is this the administrative side? Is this the political side of it? What?
I think it's all come to the perfect storm of everything. Teachers, I think, feel so put upon. Politicians are coming after you, changing the pension, doing this, picking out an evaluation system and not including educators. Parents sometimes don't know, and we want parents more involved, not less, to be honest. That hurts you more when you don't have parents involved. So I think it's a perfect storm of so many things, not just one. Administrators aren't being trained properly. See, I could go on and on, but I won't.
But the more we talk about it, the more we have the chance of solving the problem.
Right.
I mean, we've identified the problem. What are some of the solutions? And I know it's not easy. It's complicated, and there's no one solution. But, you know, if we can, you know, I'm sure you agree that just because somebody went into the administration of teaching and they're not in a classroom, that doesn't mean that they don't care. That's just probably where they feel more comfortable.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, we have some wonderful administrators.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
You guys, teachers got saddled with the testing. And,
that's
you know,
huge.
I think to myself, you know, if I go to my doctor and my doctor tells me quit smoking, quit drinking, quit eating a pound of bacon, and get a little bit of exercise and reduce the stress in your life, if I don't do those things and I have a heart attack, God forbid, that's not the doctor's fault.
No.
That's my fault. Okay? We've got very dedicated teachers that are out there that get into the system and they're teaching and they want to do a great job, but they're not being empowered. They're
that's
not
right.
being given the option or the pathway to excel. They're being told you have to teach this, you know, teach to the test.
Exactly.
And you're no longer teaching learning skills. You're no longer teaching and reasoning out the problem skills.
Absolutely.
And
everything's about that test, and you're judged on the test. And I mean, that would be, wow. Just imagine that every day in and out.
What are some of these school boards judged on? Because, you know, they some of these school boards and some of these administrators in the state or at the Fed are saying, well, you know, you got to do this, that, and the other thing. But even if you do it, they're not the one, they direct you, but they're not the ones who are responsible.
Right. And unfortunately, so many times it's by people who are not educators. Not that everybody can
right.
be an educator, but they're deciding things by people that are not educators. Our new teacher evaluation system shows that. It's ridiculous, but not educators came up with that. So our teachers are evaluated on some really ridiculous things.
We got to fix it.
Yeah, we do.
We'll get there.
I agree. We're going to work together to do it.
There you go. Nina, it's always exciting to have you in here. We appreciate you being here and all the wonderful things you and your folks are doing for the Pittsburgh Public School System. I am terribly embarrassed by the rest of the community in the media in Pittsburgh for not picking up when you guys knock it out of the park, and you do on a regular basis. But you can always come here because we will. And we'll continue to talk about it, not only with you, but with everybody else. So how do we find out more about the Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers and what you guys are doing?
Oh, please. We would love that. We ask that you refer to our website, which we are revamping. I am so excited about it. PFT400.org. Or we're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Please come and see the great work of our teachers that they do all the time. Join us at the Labor Day Parade. We'd love to have you with us as we go for our goal of 800 at least.
There you go. So if you're a teacher in the Pittsburgh Public School System, by the way, thanks for doing a good job. You guys are. And it's not just the teachers, but it's everybody else, everybody over the age of 18 in the building and the students too.
That's right. Our paraprofessionals are fabulous too.
And it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. And we look forward to talking to you again here.
Thank you so much. It's always great to be here.
Always a pleasure. You know, folks, I just got to say this. My wife is a teacher by trade. And, you know, if you put a little bit of effort into it as a parent, the rewards are great. And you can help not only your kids, but everybody else in the community. So buy a teacher a cup of coffee. It's a wonderful thing to do. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.